When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Being a teaching artist means that you're going to be working with other people, which means you're going to be exposing yourself to a lot of people who don't necessarily have the same assumptions that maybe you have or have generated over your years of being an artist, which means that being a teaching artist is a way to refresh your perspective about how and why you make your art. So this is building on my promise from yesterday of explaining some of the ways that I have benefited as an artist from being a teaching artist, how my art has improved from being a teaching artist. So I'm a firm believer that good teachers make good students and good students make good teachers, in that there's a lot of listening and processing that happens on both ends, and there's a lot of sharing that happens on both ends. And somebody observed in my classroom once when a student was showing me another way to approach something. And I was earnestly listening. I wasn't just humoring them because, like, oh, how cute, you think you can teach the expert. No, I'm eager to learn new things about my craft and new approaches. And the observer reported, like, well, who's teaching whom here? And I was like, well, yeah, this is the way it should go. And one specific example I can point to is my entire process of making comics has been fundamentally affected by a student who, it was a student who took my class for a couple years, then went off to college, and then came back to town and looked me up. And I was like, oh, how sweet, you remember the old man. And, you know, we got together over coffee so I could look at their portfolio and see how they were doing. And they were showing me their latest batch of thumbnails, which were all done on sticky notes, little 3-inch by 3-inch, you know, post-its. And I thought, well, that's interesting. That's not the way I do it at all. I do my first round of thumbnails just on, like, loose leaf copy paper. I hardly even keep track of them. Once I go to my second round of thumbnails, I pretty much just dispose of my first round of thumbnails. And I asked what was the purpose of using the sticky notes. And this student said, well, this way I can rearrange entire scenes. If, you know, this whole, like, 4-page sequence would work better earlier in the story. And I was like, you don't even need to finish that sentence. That makes perfect sense. And I don't know why I never thought of it that way, is that it's a way for you to visually board up, like put up like a sort of a, an idea board of the tiny, you know, stick figure thumbnails of your story. The same way, like, if those of you who use like Clip Studio Paint, EX, you know, you have that pagination view. And then furthermore, the 3-inch by 3-inch size creates a constraint in that you don't have the room to do any finer detail or even include a whole lot of exterior notes, right? So, like, sometimes on my, like, when I was doing small thumbnails before on just loosely, you know, copy paper, I might crowd out whole areas around that page with all sorts of notes on what I want to do there, which would slow me down from actually doing the thumbnailing. And with a sticky note, it's like I can put maybe a sentence or two about like some kind of exposition that needs to happen here, but I don't get to fuss over it and, you know, fret over word choice. That's for a later stage. It really helps focus what's necessary at that stage of the process. I didn't come up with this. A student came up with this, sharing it back to me, and it, like I said, it's now a crucial part of my process and has been for, I want to say, like the past 6 or 7 years. So that's just one of the ways that you can benefit is just by being open to listening to others' perspectives on how the process can work. And especially from the perspective of somebody who's, you know, maybe not as burdened as you are by a lot of industry-wide or even academically endorsed and maybe not in fully investigated assumptions, right? So something to think about. One of the benefits of being a teaching artist. So this is part of the Art Sound Off Challenge, artsoundoff.com, wherein I and my buddy Rob Stenzinger check in throughout the month of November with an audio journal about our art. My theme this year is just, you know, the teaching artist edition, where I'm just sharing thoughts about the ways that my work has benefited from being a teaching artist and thoughts on, you know, going on this journey of being a teaching artist. You can find all the entries that people are sharing by following the Art Sound Off hashtag on social media. You'll see Rob Stenzinger's UX series that he's been doing. And you can find out more about how you can play along at artsoundoff.com. You don't have to share them, though. You know, if you do decide to share, awesome. If you don't want to, you're just doing it for the practice, cool. I hope you have fun with it. All right, I'll be back tomorrow with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember, everybody.
Today we saw Professor Smolin find a great treasure. It wasn't gold or jewels, but something even more precious, knowledge. There are many places to find knowledge, and one of the easiest and best is a museum. Museums are storehouses of knowledge where you can see and learn all sorts of fascinating things. There's probably one close to you, so pay a visit. Remember, knowledge is power, and you can get the power.